As we conclude our I Am series today, Brother Shaw is going to wrap it up with a sermon on the vine. We come back to the bread, the light, the gate. What was after the gate? The shepherd, right? And after the shepherd, the way. And today, the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will give more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, that person will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire to be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so your joy might be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. The Word of God for us, the people of God. You know, every once in a while in our lives, as you know, out of nowhere, someone crosses your path. And that person becomes significant in your life. And that was my story in Henderson. I had a person in my church that would come. You know, guys haven't changed much over the years. And I had this guy that was a member of his church. But he was dating a cute girl in my church. So he would go to their early service and then make tracks over to my church to sit with his girlfriend and her family. You know, he's getting points by sitting there with, you know, family. And that's how I met Brother Shaw. And he became a dear friend, and I'm excited about him coming. Long before I knew that there were revival services that came to this church, I said to Brother Shaw, the last Sunday I was in Henderson, I worshiped at his church, and I said, I want you to come preach for me sometime. And as soon as I knew that we had revival services scheduled at this church, I thought, he's the guy I want to come. So, Abaddon, if you'll come at this time, we are excited that you're here. Welcome, my dear brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, for the opportunity to come. And a couple of years ago, I heard from that same guy who said, there's this new pastor in town that you really need to meet. When somebody says that, it can be good or bad. And so I said, I'm sure one of these days, you know how pastors can be, they get into their own little world. And then we had an opportunity to meet. And very quickly we realized how much kindred spirits we were. And I really appreciate him. One thing I have to say about Pastor John is all my heroes are his buddies. I don't know how that works out. And I said, well, I love to read. Well, I used to work with him. So that means either he is old or he is well-traveled. I think he would rather have the well-traveled. But I just want to tell you, Pastor John and Cheryl, that folks miss you, and they send you their greeting and their... Our loss is your gain. And it's a blessing that you've invited me to come, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you. And the message this morning, I usually have my Bible up here, but every time I do, the stand wants to go down, so I'm going to hold it in my hand. And the passage is from John chapter 15. And the message is that I've titled is there something missing in your life? Is there something missing in your life? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, we pray this morning that you would remove every distraction from this place, and that the only person who would be seen would be Jesus Christ. And I pray that he would be glorified, and that if there's anyone here who does not know him, that today would be the day they would give their hearts to him. And I also pray this morning for those who do know him, that this morning that we would examine our hearts and see if we are connected to Christ. Are we bearing fruits? So Holy Spirit, I pray not only for those who are listening, but also to the one who is standing here, speak to my heart. Help me to examine my heart to see where I am in relation to Christ. For it's in his name we pray, let all people say, amen. The passage we just read was spoken by Jesus somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. If you look at the Gospel of John, you will see somewhere it fits in from the time he left the upper room and the time he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father that if there's any way possible for this cup to be taken away, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So this is where it took place. And just about a month ago, exactly about 4 weeks ago, we were in Israel. And we took that walk from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I tried to imagine what it was like for those disciples as they were listening to the words that Pastor just read. That night was very strange for them. Jesus said many things that did not make sense at the moment. For example, he held up the bread, he held up the cup, and he said, "This is my body, eat it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, drink it." That's cannibalism. These Jewish disciples, these men, did not know what to do with this. What are you talking about? And I know your pastor preached on this last Sunday. How would we're going to eat you? We're going to drink your blood? But that's not all he said that evening. He also said things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't say, "I will show you the way. I will show you the truth. I will show you how to have life." He said, "No, I am it." And then he said in John 14, he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" And then a few verses later tells us, he says, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." And then, more than likely, by the way, I tell you, you have an amazing pastor, if you don't realize that. It's hard to find men who are grounded in the Scripture and still have a heart for the hurting. We've been pastoring for 17 years. It's hard to find that balance. But that night, Pastor, I'm thinking, as Jesus is probably walking by the temple, it's dark, it's probably about 1 o'clock in the morning, and they tell us that on the gate of the temple there were golden vines. No images allowed, because Jewish people, they didn't believe in images, the first commandment or the second commandment. And so probably Jesus saw those vines and he looked to the disciples and said, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. And I try to imagine what went through those disciples' minds at 1 o'clock in the morning, thinking, what is he talking about? This is strange. This is different. And this morning, as we walk through this message, I want you to hear me very carefully. The passage we read, John 15, and the verses I just quoted to you, is the very heart and the essence of Christianity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I am connected to Him. Now, we're going to come to that towards the end. Every religion says, do something for God. Go do something. Or the gods will be angry. Go do something for Him. Islam, Hinduism, all these religions have something about you do for God. Christianity, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. As we walk through this message in the next few moments, if you feel there is something missing in your Christian life, then this message is for you. If you feel that I'm doing things for God, but I don't see fruits. Now, you can see a lot of results. Results are based on machines. Fruit is based on life. There's a difference. If you're tired of trying to live the Christian life, you know what that means? I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. Then this message is for you. If Christianity has lost its joy, its purpose, its life, then this is the message. Three things we're going to look at very quickly, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, let you see, because I'm praying the same thing from my heart. The first thing is the true vine. Listen again to that verse we just read. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In the Old Testament, the imagery of the vine was often applied to the people of Israel. Psalm 80, verse 8 says, you have brought a vine out of Egypt. The Hebrew people were the vine of God brought out of Egypt. Jeremiah 2:21, I had planted you a noble vine. God calls Israel the vine. God is up here, the vine is here. Even Jesus used that imagery. Remember that he talked about the vineyard. He said, I am the son of the vineyard owner. I came to the vineyard and the vine dressers have thrown me out. But now, Jesus turns this imagery of the vine upside down. He says, I am the vine. I am the vine. And you are the branches. Previously, Israel is the vine, and God is the vine, or the vine dressers are the priests and the Levites, and later on the Pharisees consider them the vine dressers. But now I am the vine, and my Father himself is the vine dresser. What Jesus did here is what was always God's plan. Even the Old Testament saints were waiting for this, where God himself will live through you. I quoted Colossians 1:20. Listen to 1:26. Listen to the words again. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Many of us, I don't doubt that we know Jesus as our Savior, but we see Him as somewhere up there. I'm here, God is there, and I'm trying to do things for Him. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Nothing will so revolutionize your life than realizing that Christ is your life. He is the true vine. I'm simply connected to Him. As long as I stay connected to Him, it's all right. We were singing, and the praise team did a great job this morning. And we were just chatting in the back for a moment, and Pastor said something which is, I think, is very powerful. He said, it's not that I'm hanging on to you, but He is hanging on to me. Isn't that what Christian life is? He is hanging. See, the burden is on Him. He is holding me. He is letting His life flow through me. And guess who helps us realize this? The Holy Spirit. You know, that's His job. That's the purpose for which He came. Sometimes people get so focused, they say, oh, the Holy Spirit. Well, Holy Spirit, honor Him in your life because He will honor Jesus Christ. He will make Him more and more and more real to you. And by the way, in this life, it is hard sometimes to realize that Christ is your life, right? As you go through life, as you face circumstances, sickness, trials, hardships, kind of becomes hazy. Where is Christ? And then very quickly we begin to do things out of routine, out of obligation. As I'm preaching to you, let the Holy Spirit, pray in your heart a simple prayer, Holy Spirit, make Christ real to me. Make Him real to me. I don't even understand what I'm praying for, but I want to have, I am the true vine, and I'm simply a branch. I'm connected to Him. Is the job of the vine to provide you with all the necessary nourishments, whether it's food or water or nutrients to survive. It's His job. Amen? That's His job. Everything you need will be supplied to you. Now it makes sense when Jesus says, my body, this is the bread. Eat it. You become what you eat, right? Unfortunately, some of y'all are making faces up here. Last night we came, and it was so kind of the folks who came, and Dan and Rhea, and so many of y'all have gone above and beyond in showing hospitality, and thank you for that. And we ate, even if we really didn't need to. We still kept eating. And finally, we had to move away from the table and go do something else, because you become what you eat. You feed on Christ, you become like Christ. It's wonderful to have denominations. You say, I feed on my denomination. It's good to have the loyalty. It's good to have traditions. But I want you to hear me. If any time anything takes us away from Jesus Christ, now you are living on fumes. Nothing has that power. Nothing has the life that only Christ can give. Let me ask you that question this morning. What does it mean to you to be a Christian? Is it just a list of do's and don'ts? I don't do this and I do this. And that's wonderful. We need standards. Is it just self-effort? Is it just trying to do the best you can to please God? I hope He's happy. The true vine. Let's go to the next thing quickly because of time. The castaway branch. Now somebody will say, when you hear something like this, well, that's too easy for, okay, so Jesus is the vine, I'm the branch, I just stay connected, I'll just be passive, I'll just sit around, do nothing. If you preach that kind of a gospel, people will do nothing. Well, Christ covers that. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, this is a tough point. Now, what are fruits? Well, the Bible says many things about fruits. The first one we know is a Christ-like temperament. It is so embarrassing to have your family sitting here when you preach this. Many times they don't see a Christ-like temperament. The fruit of the Spirit, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and why did God put the last one? Self-control. Most of us struggle with self-control, don't we? Whether it comes to food or anger or selfishness. But it's amazing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the branch will have the characteristics of the vine. What else does the Bible say about the fruits? Listen, winning the lost is also a fruit. What did Jesus say? I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Romans chapter 1:13, Paul says, I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now that I might have found, or I might have some fruit among you also. Winning lost people is a fruit of being connected to the vine. Show me people who are connected to the vine, and I will show you fruits, and one of them will be seeing the lost get saved. I know my heart and your pastor's heart is in the same place, and tonight I'm going to preach a message titled, While the Church Sleeps. Islam is coming, secularism is coming, and we're asleep. We're not impacting the culture. Jesus said, be the salt and be the light. That's also part of the fruit. When you are connected to Christ, something will happen here that will give you a burden for people out there. That will give you a burden for lost people, for young people, for, I heard someone say, for lost grandchildren. How can we be here knowing the whole time they're out there? When you're connected to Christ, you have tears of compassion. Another one is sacrificial giving. That's a sticking point in our church. We talk about giving, right? It's like, come on, don't talk about the wallet. Anything else is okay. But listen to what it says in Romans 15. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who were in Jerusalem. Verse 28, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, when he took up the offering, when he gave sacrificially, that is the fruit of being connected to the vine. The more you are connected to Jesus Christ, the more you become a sacrificial giver. It's part of the fruit. By the way, did you notice that all the fruits are outward? A branch doesn't eat its own fruit. Have you ever seen a branch eating its own fruit? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? It's always for someone else. The fruit is for other people. The fruit is for my wife and my children. It's convicting. You know what victory is? People talk about victory all the time. Victory in the Christian life. Victory is when the world tells of me what the Word of God has told of me. That's a man of God. That's a husband who walks after God. That's a father who loves God. Not perfect, but he loves God. Now, here's something. Let's move along. What happens when there is no fruit? Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, big theological schools have been built around that passage. I believe, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Jesus was not dealing with Calvinism and Arminianism. Okay? I think he had Judas in mind. Just a few hours ago, they were sitting around the Passover table, and Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And they all began to say, it is I, it is I. And then even Judas said, is it I? And Jesus said, you've said it. Give him a piece of bread. He ate it. Listen, he ate it and he left. If at that moment Judas would have said, help me. I do not know what's coming over me. I need help at that moment. And again, I don't understand how God's plan would have worked. But if he had repented, he would have found hope. But the Bible says he left. And it was night. He walked out. The branch that does not bear fruit is taken away. It is possible to be in church all your life and do all the stuff and be active and still be fruitless. What happens? Those people just get taken away. I heard a message. This is not original to me. Most of what I preach is not original to me. And this speaker said something like this. During the fall, you watch the leaves just leave the branch and they start falling. Right? Happens the same way around here too, right? Okay. Just want to make sure. Imagine if you had to climb up the tree and pull down every leaf. That would be something, wouldn't it? Why are they leaving the branch? Now, maybe the men would appreciate this more and they understand this. Have you noticed that if you ever take a branch and break it and let it dry on its own, the leaves keep hanging on? Again, not original to me. Have you noticed that? They just stay there. You can come back 10 years later and they're still hanging on to that branch. Because when the tree is living, the sap has a way of pushing out the dead leaves. The truth of the Word of God of Jesus Christ has a way. Either you will come to the truth or you will what? Go away. Like the rich young ruler, go away. Like Judas, he went away. Now, we don't want anybody to go away, right? But every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So God is not over there saying, I'm going to take you away. You yourself, you're gone. It's a choice, isn't it? You can choose to receive Christ or reject him. And yes, it is possible to keep hanging on to a dead branch. I don't believe this is a dead branch. Amen? I don't think Mount Olivet is a dead branch. Amen? Can I have a big amen? Okay, just want to make sure. So you're connected to Christ. But it is possible, folks, to be connected to lifelessness and keep hanging on. We're still doing the best we can. And it looks from the outside, they're connected, but it's a dead branch. Let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of a branch are you? Are you a living branch? Are you connected to Jesus Christ? Are you bearing fruit? Is the Holy Spirit this very moment convicting your heart? If you are the castaway branch, here's the message for you. If you're here and you're listening to these words, you're not. Christ is calling you. He's calling you to salvation. Be saved. Look at number three. And I'm done with this. The fruitful branch. We saw the true vine. It is Jesus. The castaway branch is the one that doesn't bear fruit. It's just taken away as the sap pushes out the leaves, the dead leaves. Now come the fruitful branch. Verse 2. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Again, if you like gardening, you know how it is. Just because that grapevine is growing, you don't leave it alone. You go and prune it. I remember watching my dad. He loves gardening, and he would go out there with a pair of shears, and he would clip them. He would clip away the dead branches. He would also clip away the live tissue. And he's just got to have the right way to cut it. And the purpose is so that all the nutrients will be focused towards that branch and not get dissipated. Sometimes even clusters of grapes are snipped away so that better fruit will come. Trials, weakness, a message like this, this is God's way of pruning. Right? This is God's way of chipping away, removing the dead branches. Removing areas of our lives that are draining the energy, draining what God wants to do. And when you preach something like this, there are always people who say, well, if I follow God, he's going to take away my child, or he's going to take away my wife or my husband. You see, that's the enemy. Satan will always convince you, if you follow God, something bad will happen. So what do? We say, like, oh, I want to be right here and serve God. That's a lie of the enemy. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. It's not more pain, it's more fruit. And yes, if bad things do happen, what does the Bible say? God works all things together for good, to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Here's the question this morning. Are you a fruitful vine? In verse 5, Jesus said again, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. My dad was a Muslim. Many of you have probably known that since Pastor John's been announcing this. He was a Muslim for many years, for his first 20 years of his life. And then one day he was watching his grandfather pray. His grandfather was a very pious Muslim. And he would pray 5 times a day. As many of you have been through conferences and seminars, 5 times means you're really pious. If you ever see some of them on television, they have a black mark over here. And the reason they have that black mark is a callus, because they're putting their head on the ground so often. Wouldn't that be something if our Christians start praying 5 times a day? We have trouble with that, right? 5 times a day. He would fast every week. He even went to Saudi Arabia on a pilgrimage. I mean, did all those things. And one day, my father saw him praying, and he was so into that prayer. When he finally stood up, he asked him that question. He said, or made that statement, you know, when you get to heaven, Allah will really bless you because you have been so faithful. You have done so much for him. And his grandfather, my great-grandfather, I never met him, he answered with tears coming down his face. That tells you that people know that what they're doing is not right. He said, son, I can do all this and more, but there is still no guarantee that I will be in heaven. And that planted a seed in my dad's mind, in his heart, that blossomed a couple of years later when he read the Bible. Muslims don't read the Bible. The Bible is corrupted. The Bible is from the devil. The Bible is some Western conspiracy to destroy Islam. And he found Jesus Christ. But here's the interesting point. Islam, like other religions, says, what can you do for God? What can you do for me? You can do all you want to, but it's still not enough. You can fly planes into buildings, and all that is great, but it's up to me. whether that's even good enough. Jesus, how amazing grace is. He says, I don't want you to do anything. Just stay connected to me and bear fruit. Means the branch is not saying, how what do I do next? The branch is simply doing what the vine is allowing it to do. Because without me, you can do nothing. The question this morning is, are you connected to Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Say, I know church, I know Pastor John, I know a certain pastor. That's the wrong question. On the day of judgment, it won't matter. Do you know Christ? Is he your Savior? At any point in time in your life, have you invited him in your life to be your Savior? Are you saved? We don't use that anymore. Are you saved? Are you born again? And if you are, wonderful. But is there something blocking the flow of life in your being today? Would you bow your heads for a moment? And as your pastor comes, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him guide you this morning.
Ephesians tells us that for by grace are we saved through faith. It's not of works should we boast. It's a gift from God. And that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision, I invite you in your heart where you're sitting today to realize that Christ died to pay for all your sin. You can simply thank him for that and receive him as your own Savior. Father, I lift this prayer to you through Jesus our Lord. Amen.